We appreciate everybody being here tonight. Hope you've had a good day. Things have gone your way. And if they hadn't, you're at the right place because you're going to have a good time here. We get to sing these songs of praise to God, and they draw our mind back to God just a little bit. It's wonderful how that these songs that we sing have such a great meaning to us. And over the years, you think about things and other people, and you think about these songs, and it kind of causes you to think about other people, but also think about that relationship you have with the Lord. And I hope you have a relationship with the Lord. I hope it's a great thing. A few weeks ago, I did a little study about the first verse in the Bible. Tonight, we're going to look at the last one. I figure start at the beginning and go to the end. So we're going to be looking at the last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 21. And it's a great little passage. Listen at it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now that's a short passage, but it has such a meaning to it. It has such a power to it that we need. The book of Revelation is a wonderful book. It was a book written to people who were facing trouble and difficulties and hard times. They were going to face some problems, and God wanted them to be able to know how to deal with those things and to be encouraged. Sin has the idea of discouraging us, and it does that. It pulls us down. But the grace of God and Jesus Christ lifts us up, gives us hope, gives us encouragement. We live in a world that has problems and difficulties, but this book of Revelation, in a dramatic way, helps us to understand what God's trying to do and what God's trying to say. And then after Revelation 22 and verse 21, God says nothing. Nothing at all. He's already said it. It bothers me when people say the 400 years between the end of the Old Testament, between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years and God was silent. Let me tell you something. God was talking the whole time. He had told them what to do. He had told them how to do it. And why keep telling them to do it, to do it, to do it, and them not doing it? There was nothing else to say. God has nothing else to say today. He said everything that He needs to say. He said everything that He needs to say in His Word. We've got everything we need. We don't need anything else. Not at all. We have all we need in this Word. And Revelation was the final thing there where God is saying, listen, you just keep on being faithful. He was talking to those people at that time, but He's also talking to us. That we need to recognize that God is wanting to save us and wanting to cleanse us and help us to have the best in the world. Revelation said that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the beginning. He is the end. The Bible talks about Him being Alpha, the Omega, Alpha, the first word of the Greek alphabet, and Omega, the last word. He's the beginning and the end of it all. He's the one that God was planning on bringing to this world so that we could have victory over sin. And that's what He's trying to do. Help us to understand the victory that we have. Helping us to understand the joy that we have. And the entire Bible is really trying to bring us to Jesus Christ so that we can see what God has done for us. And if we can't see what He's done for us, if we can't see how He's helped us and how He's given us the victory and how He's forgiven our sins, then we've missed the whole thing of this book. It's not just the pointing out of sin, but it's helping us to see that God will forgive our sins. God will cleanse us and make us right. Victory is God's truth for the whole world. Victory is the thing that God wants us to understand. That last statement there, the statement that is so simple, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that grace that He's given us, that grace that is ours, be with you. Amen. What does amen mean? It's true. It's so. Nothing else. I agree with it. And Jesus Christ, all of the church at that time, was saying, we believe this. We trust in it. We live in a world of trouble. We live in a world of heartache. We live in a world that has problems with it. And we have to understand that. The grace of Jesus Christ has got to be with us. And we need that. Did I go all the way through or what did I do? Okay. I'm coming back. I'll be here in a minute. Okay. Which way did I go? I don't know which way I went. Does anybody know where I'm at? The last verse of the Bible? Okay. I don't know if I've skipped through. but if I have, then forget about that. You never depend on those things. They get wild. I tell people, I wash my hands and I can't do a thing with my computer. It spells wrong and it's not my fault. It's just my hands are clean. But we need to understand that there's problems in the world and God recognized that. That first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created. God created a world and He wanted it to be perfect. He wanted it to be right and He did everything. In fact, it talks about how that God created these things and He said it's good. God created this and He said it's good. God created the whole world and said it's good. God created man and said it's good. It was all good. But problems were going to come because the devil, Satan, is going to be there. And it wasn't long till you have problems and difficulties in the world. And so God's dealing with those things. God's trying to help us to understand how to deal with those things. And we have problems today. Every one of us has problems. You know, when somebody asks you, how are you doing? It's the best thing not to really tell them all the truth, okay? Just don't tell them how bad you're doing and how bad things are. You can discourage somebody. Don't do that. Tell them you feel good. Just go ahead and just say it. I feel good. I feel good. And maybe you can convince yourself of that too. But we have problems. We live in a world of problems. We live in a world that has so many difficulties. It seems like today, and you think about, you know, your parents and your grandparents and them and the world they live in, they may be just like we are now. They may in their lives said, this world is really getting bad. It's getting bad. How bad can it get? I don't know. It can get worse than it is right now. So be glad for what you have right now. And try to help people to understand the gospel so that they can change. The first verse in the Bible wants us to show us God. And the last verse in the Bible wants to show us God's victory over sin. And how that God was able to overcome sin by Jesus Christ. He was able to do that. God is the creator. And God is the sustainer. God is the one that will save us in the end. And that's the victory that we need to recognize. That's what we got to recognize. And so we live in a world that is corrupt. But that doesn't mean that we got to be that way ourselves. We live in a world that may be lost, it's coming to an end, but that doesn't mean we've got to come to an end. We can survive, we can go on because of what Jesus Christ has done. The Bible calls us to that fellowship with God. We understand in Genesis there that we lost that fellowship because of sin. God at that point started trying to bring fellowship back with man. He wanted to be a part of man's life. He wanted man to be a part of His life. And so He wants us to have that fellowship. And our elder brother, Jesus Christ, came and He gave us that fellowship back. He gave us the fellowship we can have with God. We can have that unity with God. And so it's there for us. It's every bit of that. And that's what He's trying to do. That's what the last verse in the Bible is trying to say. God has restored that fellowship. And there is not a person that cannot have that restoration. There's a person, not a person, that cannot have that. The Bible calls what sin is and helps us to see that. Sometimes people look at the Old Testament and they see the idea of sin there and how bad it was and how those people sinned. We're doing the same thing today. But God wanted people to see not just their sin. He wanted them to see what righteousness was. You know, if things are going good in your life, you don't understand what a problem is. I've seen some people, they say, well, you know, I broke a fingernail. And it's just the worst thing in the world. It's terrible. And there's people that lose loved ones. There's people that they have, their health is gone and all. And hadn't you met somebody and they told you about their problems and you thinking, I wish I had your problems and you had mine. Well, no, I don't want you to have mine. I don't think you can handle the problems I've got to deal with. It's tough. But what we've got to do is to realize things are good with God. And we need to learn to trust in God and depend upon Him. He wants to save our soul. He wants to cleanse us. In Revelation 22 and verse 21, here is this last verse, kind of summing up that first verse and letting us know the victory is ours. We are those people that overcame. God has the solution for sin. God has the solution for the problems in the world. And they're very simple. It's not complicated. You don't have to have a preacher to tell you that. You don't have to have a whole lot of people to figure it out. You don't have to have all the world to study this question. It's very simple. It's in this book. And it is that God has given the grace of God to save every person. And He wants every person to be forgiven of their sins. That's the solution. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Romans, the 7th chapter, if you'd like to. And if you don't, then just listen to what we're having to say here. Romans 7, starting with verse 24, going through the 8th chapter and verse 1. You know the divisions in the Bible are where man divides it, and sometimes we don't divide it where it needs to be divided. Listen, starting with verse 24 of Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to get me out of this? I thank God through or by or because of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how it's done. And what he's saying is, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But you know, I thank God that he's done all this through Jesus Christ. That he's cleansed me through what Jesus Christ has done. Then he says, so then with a mind, I myself serve the law of God. In my mind, I'm going to be a good person. In my mind, I'm going to try to live right. I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to be the right kind of person and do everything that God wants me to do in my mind. But then look at as he goes here and shows us our problem. But with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I've got a body here and it wants to sin. I've got a spirit that it may want to do what's right, but I've got a flesh here that says do wrong. And there's the struggle. There's the fight. And if you go over to Ephesians and read that book, you'll see there that Paul talks about that struggle. I know what I need to do, and I know what I should do, but that's not the thing I do. I do what I don't want to do. And that struggle of sin. And we all understand that. We all understand what it is. But look, what he's trying to say here is there's salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why is there no condemnation? Because Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ offered himself on the cross to pay the price for all the sins. He's able to overcome. We have salvation because of Jesus Christ, not because of what we have done. Our salvation is because of Jesus. Now, some people, when they hear that, they think, well, you're just saying all these people got to do is have Jesus and then they can live like they want to. Oh, no, you can't. Because if you live like Jesus Christ wants you to live, and that's the only way you're going to have the salvation that he offers. You've got to live according to what he wants you to do. He's trying to lead you. And we, like blind people, are walking in the world looking to go the right way, and we may not know the right way. What we've got to do, if you've ever seen anybody that's blind, and I've helped some blind people before. A lot of times they'll just take their hand and put it on your arm or put it up under your arm, and they just go wherever you go. And if you want to lead them in a ditch, that's where they can go. If you want to lead them the right way to what they need, then that's going to help them. And sometimes with these blind people, you're leading them along and you're coming to a step or something and you tell them, hey, there's a step coming up here. It's just right here. You're trying to lead. That's what Jesus Christ is trying to do for us. He's leading us, blind people that don't know how to go to heaven. He's trying to help us to get there. And so he's showing us the right way to go. And he's helping to do this. Therefore, we have these things. We don't walk according to the flesh, he says here, but according to the Spirit. We're following Jesus Christ. We're following his way. And he's going to lead us the right way. Now, he gives salvation to you, not because you've earned it, but because he bought it for you. He paid the price for it, and he can forgive you of your sins. He has the power to do that. If you will follow him, he will lead you directly to heaven. Our problem is we want to hold his hand for a little while, and then we think we can get our own way. And so here we go off on our own, and we don't follow the Spirit. We don't follow Jesus Christ. We don't follow God, and then that's when we fall. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to hold on to him so that we can have this salvation. It can be our salvation. And this is the problem that we have. We get away from Jesus Christ. We've got to come back to Jesus Christ. Do we truly believe the truth? Do we truly believe what Jesus Christ said there? I know what we say. I know we say we do. But we got to look at our life and see if it's really there. We've got to look at our life and see if we really are walking that way, if we really aren't doing that. Now, please don't just overlook the things that you do that are wrong, but recognize those things and go to God and ask him to forgive you. He will do that every time you repent as a child of his. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will make you whole if you're not a Christian. He will take you and he will do just like he did with the people in Acts, the second chapter. He will wash you. He will add you to the church. and you'll be a part of His body. And then we can go to Him as our Father that loves us, that cares for us, and He wants to give us the best things in the world. The gospel of God's triumph is Jesus Christ. And we've got to recognize that. He is the triumph thing of God, the way God has designed to overcome it. The Bible begins with God, and it ends with His Son, Jesus Christ, saving us, cleansing us, making us whole. God created it all, and God saw the problems that were going to be there, and He dealt with those problems. Remember Genesis 3 and verse 15, where He talked there about that one that was going to come, that was going to have his heel bruised, but He was going to bruise the head of the serpent? That's talking about Jesus Christ. I don't know of anybody that doesn't recognize that passage saying that. It's saying that here's Jesus Christ. He's going to overcome the devil. Oh, the devil's going to cause some problems for Him. He's going to hurt his heel. But God, Jesus Christ, is going to deliver a blow to Satan's head that's going to, he's never going to be able to come back from that. It's kind of like the, you know, you see these wrestlers and when or boxers, and one guy, he comes back and hits this guy right on the chin, and that's it. He just falls back. The fight's over. The fight's done. That's what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. The battle is already won, and we have to realize that. But you see, our problem is we get caught up in all this stuff in the world. We get caught up in all these problems that are found in the world, and we lose sight of Jesus Christ. We get our arm away from His arm. We don't walk His path. We don't walk His way. And because of that, we see all the problems and all the trouble and all the difficulties in the world. And we think they're all on our back. What we've got to do is to realize that God is there helping us to be able to overcome all those things, helping us to be able to defeat every one of those things. God that created us is also the God of our salvation. Read Hebrews the 2nd chapter and verse 10 sometime and see if you don't see that. That God of salvation, that God that has so much for us. Some believers look at, and they want God, but they don't want Jesus Christ. There are people in the world today that, oh, they say, well, we believe in God. We just don't know about this Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Listen to what the Lord had to say. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that's in John 14 and verse 1. He said, I want you to know that if you're going to believe in God, you're going to believe in me. The disciples on one occasion said, show us the Father. They were physical, and they wanted to see a physical manifestation of God. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen how I walk, how I talk, how I live. You've seen the Father. See, they were looking for the physical part. They forgot about the spiritual part. And that's where we are. We think about the physical and forget about the spiritual. And we got to come back to the spiritual and look at the spiritual part. We are walking and talking and living like God as a child of God. You say, now, I don't know if I want to say that or not. Now remember, it's not based on you. It's based on Jesus Christ. It's based on you trying to walk with Him and talk with Him and live with Him and be like Him. But that salvation is from God. And so when people see us, they see God, they see Jesus Christ, they see the Holy Spirit, they see heaven walking. Or they should. Because of the way we're trying to live our lives, the way we're trying to conduct ourselves. Some people would not have Jesus Christ in this. I've heard people say, well, you know, I want Jesus and don't want the church. And some people say, well, I want God, but I don't want Jesus and don't want the church. Basically, what we're saying is I want to do things my own way. I want to do it like I want to. Well, let me tell you something. That's when we, blind people, are walking around holding the arm of Jesus Christ, holding the arm of God, and then we're going to go our own way and do our own thing. And that's when we fall on our face. That's when we fall down. And because of that, we have so much shame that we're trying to say, I don't want to try to do that again. It hurts to fall. I don't like that. So what I'll do is just, I won't fall. I won't see anything that I'm doing that's wrong. I'll overlook that. We can't live that way. We've got to be willing to see and understand the right way. And the way is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am Him, I'm the Son of God, then you're going to die in your sins. We've got to take a hold of Jesus Christ and never let Him go. We've got to walk His way and do what He says. And just like somebody following, leading a blind person, you lead them the way you want them to go. And you're protecting them and you're watching over them. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's watching over, He's protecting us, He's guiding us, He's helping us to be the right kind of people. He is the one that dwells all in the fullness of God bodily. And so He's the one we need to be following. He's the one we need to listen to. Revelation is a wonderful book that brings us to the conclusion there that you can overcome and you can win, that you don't have to be defeated in this, that even though there's troubles and problems in the world, even though this old world has difficulties and we think it's worse than it ever has been, well, our parents and grandparents may have thought the same thing about the world at the time they were living in. They had some difficulties then. And I wonder, what will our children think? Oh, what a terrible world this is. Oh, what a bad world this is. Let me tell you something. We can overcome the world. We have the power to do that. Not because we're so great, but because we're holding the arm, the hand of someone that knows where he's going. And we can get there. We have the power to be able to do that. We've got to be in Christ. We've got to be a part of Christ. It's important that we recognize. Now, if I can get this thing to get down to the last one, I'll be doing good. Oh, I think I went past that. Yeah, this is the one I want. This is the passage that we've been looking at. This is the passage that I think has a great deal of importance in it. We've seen the first chapter, or the first verse, now the last verse. This last verse is so very simple, but so powerful. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Be with every one of you. Be with all of you. We have that promise. And He's saying here, you can overcome this world. That's what the Bible is trying to say from the beginning. And the gospel is the good news. And the good news is we don't have to be lost. The good news is that we can go to heaven. The good news is that we can be those people that are saved. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit what you can do. It's important for you to know the Word of God. Know it from the beginning of the end. We want preachers that know the Word of God and they know what the Bible has to say. We want elders that know the Word of God. Well, let me tell you something. God wants every member to know the Word of God and to follow it. That's what He wants. And you see, we haven't realized yet, the more of God's Word that we know, the more of God's Word that's a part of our life, the more confidence we have in God, the more trust we put in Him. We've got to depend on Him. We've got to lean on Him. We've got to trust in Him. We've got to know the Word of God. Paul said, I have not shunned, or they in Acts the 20th chapter, verse 27, said, I have not shunned to proclaim, to declare, to teach to you the whole counsel of God. And that's a thing we need to learn, is all of it. Don't pick out just part of it, but pick out all of it. And understand what it all has to say. All these two passages, they have so much to do with each other. One saying God is in control. God is handling everything. God is the one that we need to trust in and depend on. And the last verse saying almost the same thing. You can trust in God. You can depend upon God. You can depend upon the grace of God. It's there for you and nobody can take it away. We need to be willing to follow the Word. We need to be willing to do what it has to say, to understand the teaching of the Bible. But even more than just hearing it, we've got to be willing to do it. It's one thing to hear the Word of God, but it's another thing to do the Word of God. And this simple little passage here, doesn't it give you hope? Doesn't it give you confidence? Those people faced difficulties, and they were able to overcome. Let me tell you something. There's not a difficulty in this world today that Jesus Christ cannot overcome. There's not a person that He cannot save if they want it. If you don't want it, you just take your hand away from Him and walk away from Him. But don't try to run up and grab him and hold him a little bit. And then you're going to run over here. And then you're going to run over here and grab him. And then you're going to run over here. Let me tell you something. That's confusing. But that's where most of religion is. See, we're trying to hold on, but we're trying to let go too. And you can't do both of them. It won't work. So why don't you hold on to him? Why don't you hold on to him with everything you have? And you don't give up. And it's not based upon how wonderful you are, but it's based upon him and your walk with him. You're following him. And he will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He'll blot it out. He'll forgive you all day long, all night long. He'll forgive you all of your life. So why in the world should we not be saved? Why should we not be saved? The only reason is we don't want to be saved. We don't want to follow his way. And if we get that way, there's no way to save. The grace of God cannot save people who will not follow Jesus Christ. The grace of God is offered. Every time Mark extends the invitation, I extend the invitation, or anybody extends the invitation, every time. The reason that we are able to do that is because of the grace of God. And you can be forgiven. I don't care what you've done. If you'll repent, God will forgive. And listen, other people will help you to overcome sin. We don't walk alone. We walk with somebody. In fact, we're holding his hand and he's leading us the way if we'll be willing to follow it. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you. Take the hand of God. Take the hand of Jesus Christ. Follow the Holy Spirit's message as it's given to you. They'll lead you to heaven if you want to go. Those of us that are Christians, that we've been holding on to his hand, maybe we've let it go a time or two. Maybe that's where we are right now. The invitation is for you to come and to be a part of Christ again, to be forgiven of your sins again. And he'll do that. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't sit there and think you're going to hide your sins. No sin will ever be hid. It will all be open. But at that time, it may be too late to change. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice.